Hello everyone, this is the translation of Pascal Girard's message for Sunday the 4th of October. We said 2 weeks ago that you can give yourself the right to imagine wonders, to make perfect plans. But if you run into obstacles in your path, there's a good chance that it will delay you or even force you to rethink what you imagined. Sometimes giants stand in front of us in our life. Huge tasks, huge challenges, huge worries, huge fears, huge problems. They are monsters like the giant Goliath, which David once faced. Only our giant is not called Goliath, but loneliness, illness, old age, excessive workload, lack of money, or family problems. What is the name of your Goliath? Your giant does not face you in the hills of Elah, but in the office, in the living room, in the doctor's waiting room, in the room of meeting. It comes in the form of people constantly blaming you and waiving bills you can't pay, or with performance demands that just can't be met. He torments you with bottles of brandy or other enticements that you just can't resist. We know Goliath's roar all too well. It's already there when we wake up. He's whispering to us, "Give up. It can only go wrong. Abandon it." At breakfast, he is already seated at the table and whispers negative slogans to us. If we go out, he is the companion always by our side. He is there like a shadow. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 16. For 40 days the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Our giant does the same. He is the first to show up in the morning. And then we also know the last thought of the evening. It governs our lives and robs us of all joy. 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 11. On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. We know Goliath too well. We recognize him in the hallway and we shudder at the sound of his voice. We keep it in mind. The only question is, do we see anything other than him? If so, what? First of all, you can look the giant in the eye, once you see God clearly. Look at the giant, then you stumble. Look at the Lord, then the giant stumbles. David chose the second solution, and he picked up 5 stones. These 5 stones are meant to remind us of what we need to bring down our Goliath. First stone, remember God's help. As even the most seasoned soldiers trembled, David remembered the previous situations. The giant was not the first big challenge for him. He often faced enormous challenges, but with God's help, he did it again and again. God had given him the strength in the past to fight lions and conquer bears. Shouldn't he be able to do the same with this giant? But, David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. That reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 to 36. Good memories create heroes, bad memories create weak ones. Some problems seem to us to become more and more important over time because we suffer from forgetfulness. I'm not talking about the normal forgetting that we all know more or less about. But I mean, we no longer remember the help that God gave us from what we have experienced with God so far. It will be our downfall. Then in the morning, our Goliath overwhelms us with an agonizing litany of worries, and we are paralyzed. It's not for nothing that Psalm 103 says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion." Therefore, think about where you have already received God's help. Record in your memory where God stepped in, where he showed ways out and gave solutions. Make a list of his good deeds. Some keep a prayer journal to keep these memories. Hasn't he proven his loyalty over and over again? Haven't you received his care over and over again? How many times have you gone to bed hungry at night? When did you wake up in the morning with no roof over your head? Thanks to God's help, the mountains had to give way and the enemies had to retreat. Think about the experiences you have had with God in the past. Think about David, who in human terms had next to no chance, and then decided to do what he did. Trust in the power of God. Second stone. Pray to God. The Israelites saw Goliath all the time. They saw him, they talked about him, they thought of him, they probably even dreamed of him. All they had in mind was this scary monster. You have heard his horrible threats and his demands. You have seen his behavior. Everything revolved around Goliath. Then David appears on the scene, and he directs the conversation to God. God does not appear in the conversations of soldiers. Even with David's brothers, that didn't seem like a problem. David, on the other hand, is barely in the camp and already invokes the living God. He does the same with King Saul. He does not say a word about the military situation or possible tactics. All you hear from him is the declaration inspired by God. David declared, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." David sees more profoundly. He recognizes something that remains hidden from others. Not only does he look at the giant, but he also sees the spiritual realities. Pay close attention to David's battle cry. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." What armies, we can ask? The normal observer sees only the army of Israel on one side and the Philistines on the other. David, meanwhile, sees armies of allies, like on the day of the Normandy landings. Companies of angels, armies of saints, the weapons of the wind and the natural forces of the earth. God could bomb the enemy with hail, blow them away in a gust of wind, make them disappear in a crevasse with an earthquake. If I've counted correctly, David refers to God a total of 8 times in this section. In purely numerical terms, the ratio of statements about God to statements about Goliath is 8 to 2. And what is it like with us, with you? Do you think about the greatness of God 4 times as often as you think about your problem? Do you see 4 times as many blessings from God in your life as there are reasons to complain? Is the hope file in your head 4 times as thick as the fear file? Are you 4 times more likely to talk about the power and possibilities of God than the hardships of the day? How does this spiritual vision come about? By prayer. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Prayer was also the key to David's success, as evidenced by the many prayers in the Psalms. In a precarious situation, he said, and this you read in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters, but David found strength in the Lord his God. When Saul's soldiers were threatening on his heels in another situation, David turned to God. "But I will sing of your strength. In the morning I will sing of your love. For you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble." Psalm 59, verse 16. Always keep in mind the following promise. "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." Isaiah 26, verse 3. God promises us not only a little rest, but a deep peace, unrestricted, intact, undiluted. To whom? To those who cling to him. Therefore, direct your thoughts and desires to God, to Jesus. Ask God for help, not just sporadically, every now and then, but every time the giant enters your field of vision. Take the prayer stone, but don't forget the next stone either. Third stone, set the right priorities. Of course, David sees that Goliath is huge and much stronger than anyone in Israel. But he also sees something else, that the honour of God is at stake here. David is personally affected by this Goliath who mocks God. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? 1 Samuel 17, 26. The giant finally offended God. Jesus once said to his disciples, "Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me." Luke chapter 10, verse 16. Blasphemous ridicule penetrates David's skin. It hurts him. He is interested in the cause of God, in the honour of God, in the kingdom of God. Behind this hides a special attitude of the heart. It is nothing other than what Jesus describes with the words, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Matthew 6, 33. We see it here with David. He is interested in the cause of God, in the kingdom of God. He sees that the forces of evil oppose the will of God. But the winning faith does not accept unfavorable circumstances and practical constraints. Rather, he confronts them because he knows that the kingdom of God will be built. Despite all human likelihood, God's will and plan will come true. It is the change of perspective of faith that we do not look at our predicament only from within the world, as if we are detached from the sphere of power and influence of God. Let us not look at our predicament as the beginning of the end, but as the start of a new beginning. Goliath was another opportunity for God to prove himself in David's eyes. How about looking at your giant from the same perspective? Put God and his cause first, and see if it is true that everything must work together for the good of those who love God. Come to Jesus with your sin. Give him the opportunity to demonstrate his incomprehensible grace. Come to God with your conflicted relationship with another person. Give him the opportunity to put his reservoir of love at your disposal. Come to Jesus with your predicament. Give him the opportunity to demonstrate his strength, his wisdom, his grace, his mercy, his love. In other words, make the cause of God the first priority in your life. Then take the fourth stone. Fourth stone. Take courageous steps. Finally, David sets out to confront Goliath, but it looks more like a suicide mission, which David has planned. As helpful as Saul is, he wants to lend him his weapons and armour, but David cannot face it. On one side of the battlefield is Saul and his army of cowards with pale chalk faces. On the other side is Goliath. Who would bet a son team on the boy from Bethlehem? Certainly not the Philistines, neither the Israelites, nor his brothers, nor the king, none of those but God. And we know how the incident continued. David defeated Goliath with the slingshot. It's like shooting a main battle tank with an air rifle. But the unthinkable happens. The giant falls. David was able to achieve this victory over his giant because he was looking at the Lord, because he remembered his help, because he trusted him and relied on him completely. Do the same as him. What is the point of going over the same problem over and over again? As long as you look at your Goliath, you probably already know what tattoos he has on his chest. Did it take you a step further? No. The list of injuries does not heal. Listing the problems doesn't get you one inch closer to the solution. Cataloguing your negative experiences doesn't get rid of the giants. David was able to overcome the giant because he was looking to the Lord, because he trusted God, and he took courageous steps. But this victory over Goliath is far from being the end. David's faith affects his countrymen. He overcomes the paralysis of his fellow combatants. By the time Goliath is on the battlefield, the fight isn't over, and that's where it really starts. The Israelites are pursuing the Philistines. Before that, they were paralyzed. All hope was gone. Now they take heart and believe. You see, it's still the case today. Surpassing the faith of some people encourages others to trust God and take courageous action. And to show what living faith looks like in action, it doesn't just take older, mature Christians. Young Christians who constantly live their faith are also invaluable. Like young David, his faith sets in motion those who have already hesitated. One's faith encourages the others to expect great things from God. Fifth stone, stay tuned. David did not give himself the illusion that a stone would remove all problems. He knew that Goliath had four other equally monstrous parents. We read in 2 Samuel, chapter 21, verse 16. And Ishbi-Benob, one of the descendants of Rapha, whose bronze spearhead weighed 300 shekels and who was armed with a new sword, said he would kill David. Then there was Saph, who was also a descendant of Rapha, of the race of giants, and finally a second Goliath, who had a spear with a shaft like a weaver's rod. Why did David collect 5 stones? Maybe he did it because David had to be prepared for the 4 members of the Goliath clan to descend into the valley to support their leader. Either way, David was ready just in case. Do the same as him. Don't give up just yet. Maybe one prayer is not enough. Maybe an apology is not enough. Maybe one conversation is not enough. You may also need to take a step or two back. But don't give up. Reload your slingshot over and over and get ready for the next shot. David collected 5 stones. He made 5 decisions. Do like him. The stones that matter are remembering God's help, praying to God, setting the right priorities, taking courageous action, sticking to it. Some people don't see a real miracle in this story. No dividing sea, no fire falling from the sky, no resurrection of the dead like Lazarus. Where is the miracle? The miracle is David himself. Here's the miracle personified of a beginner through which God gives us a very important message. Look at the giant and you will fall. Look at the Lord. It is the giant who will fall. Amen.